Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Gonna be that in an hour. Coming in my band, child shoes and my necktie, honey.
A little bit off topic to start. Not that you even know what it's the show. We're probably going to talk about the Bills a lot. And this is Bill. This is Bills related. It involves Josh Allen and the quarterback that they'll be playing on Sunday, the Bills, Baker Mayfield. And I feel like the opportunity that is presenting itself to me as the co-host of the Shope and the Bulldog Show, with the Shope portion being away today and Nate Geary sitting in, it feels like I'd be missing an opportunity. I don't know that it needs to lead the show, but tough crap.
Here we are.
Yeah. How sick of a burn is it to say someone plays golf with two gloves on?
It was a good burn. And he said he's that kind of guy. Yeah, that's...
All right. What? I've seen... Said Aaron Rye plays with two gloves. I've seen it. I don't think I've ever played with anyone playing golf with two gloves. Baker Mayfield made a crack about how tall Josh Allen is, and he needs to use a walkie-talkie to talk to him. I don't know if that was supposed to be a burn or not. I mean, I don't know. I'm a reasonably tall person. I never feel insulted when someone makes fun of how
tall
I am.
Joke, yeah.
Although, you know, 6'5 is not like crazy. It's not like I'm, you know, Manute Bol or something. Anyway, and Allen was told about that, and his comeback was he wears two gloves when he golfs. He's that kind of guy. And I have no idea how good a burn that is, because I don't really get it. Like, I don't see people do it, so it's uncommon.
Yes.
Why is it? Is it just not manly? Like, what is the
It's definitely like an inside, you have to be a golfer to get the joke kind of thing.
Okay. See, here's my problem. I think I am a golfer.
You are.
Now.
Yeah. You're an insider now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still don't.
It's sort of like
get it.
The other thing that he could have said was like, yeah, like Baker puts iron like covers over his irons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, like
that guy. I would hate that.
Yeah, like that.
I would hate that.
The guy that has the two gloves probably also has the iron covers.
Okay.
You know, so
You just don't need it?
You're an easy target.
You just don't.
You're.
I mean,
you're a tryhard.
Isn't more grip good?
Yeah, I have tried to play with two gloves in the like this weather.
Sure.
Where I've got to throw winter gloves on and right. Like literally golf winter gloves.
That's a whole other problem.
Terrible.
Like, why are you even trying to do that? Is a good question.
Yeah,
I think. Anyway,
no, it is.
Yeah.
No, it's a great question. there's something about having two gloves that I like. I need one, like on my left hand.
Yeah.
You throw that second one on, and it's very unnatural feeling for me. So, yeah. And I played baseball, and I used to wear two gloves when I bat. But like, I don't. To explain why it's a burn, I feel like it's hard to do, but like it's just a try hard. It's just that guy who's, you know, wearing like what are those like the old like what's the golfer I'm thinking of that's at Pinehurst? He's got the
Payne Stewart.
You know, he had like the big socks.
Sure, the knickers.
Yeah. Imagine someone today at Delaware Park.
I have seen I have seen such a person.
And immediate, whatever your immediate thought is, apply that thought to a person wearing two gloves.
All right. The person wearing the knickers at Delaware Park, I feel like I want a hat tip to you. I want to, because I'm all over the place when I play there. Like there are days when I go out there on a Tuesday morning and I'm wearing a Ramones t-shirt. There are other days where I'm like, you know, the belt is matching the shirt. I'm trying hard. I don't have gloves, but I'm going in. I'm like, I have this stuff. I suddenly have a closet full of this stuff. We've really come a long way. And so I'm gonna wear it. I'm gonna look at the shoes match the hat. Look at me, right? So the two glove thing, I didn't really know. I've been playing a lot in the summer, late in the summer, with a guy who doesn't wear any gloves.
Which I got a couple of friends that do
like
that.
Which is like borderline psychotic behavior.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to swing a club without a glove?
I one time this year took off my glove. I took off absentmindedly. No idea why I did this. I knew I had a chip to get, but it was, you know, it was in the fringe. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna just, you know, little. Chip up and putt. So I'm walking to, I go to my cart, push cart, and leave my glove, grab my putter and my little wedge, and I go walking to the green, and I'm halfway there, and I go, oh, I forgot my glove. I'm like, that's okay.
You'll be fine.
That's fine. It's just a chip. I can do that. I mean, I miss those, you know, on occasion anyway, but it just felt really weird. I did not like the feeling at all.
So I don't use a glove around the greens when I chip. I just like to feel better.
Yeah.
But like I've gotten to recently somebody had a simulator at an event and they were like, you golf, Nate, like let's see your drive. And I'm like, I don't have my clubs. I don't have, it's not the right acoustics to do this.
Right.
And they're like, what are you talking about? You're a good golfer. Just go up there and swing the club.
I might break the stuff. I'm too good.
Exactly. And I'm like, I don't have a glove.
I don't have a glove. Right.
And so I'm, you know, taking a couple swings. I'm like, all right, you know, like warming up.
This wasn't the barefoot thing from this.
No. All right. So I take a swing.
Sorry to bring that up for anyone who followed along with it. Anyway, go ahead.
Take a swing, and as I'm making contact with the club, it was like, you know, like you ever see Hideki Matsuyama do this, where he swings, and right as he makes contact, he assumes because of the feel of the contact, it's the worst shot he's ever made, and he just throws the club behind him.
Sure, yeah.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Except
there was a lot of people around watching.
Yeah, that's tough.
And it slipped out, and I was like, you guys have a glove? I'm like, I can't swing anymore. Because I can't.
Yeah.
I have sweaty palms.
I don't think I would want to do that in front of no one.
Right.
So all right.
So I felt very embarrassed.
All right. So the two glove thing is just like you're Johnny Tryhard.
Yes.
Your gym class hero guy. You got too much gear.
Yep.
Like let's ratchet it down a little bit. All right. Bills and Bucks coming up. This is the start of our pregame show coverage right here. You're listening to with Nate Geary. I am the Bulldog. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
A few days in advance.
Oh, man. Sorry. No, we didn't take a break. Anyway, cool to have you here. The Bills and Bucks. Allen. The Bills' passing offense, everything from Sunday. I don't want to rehash Sunday in any kind of great depth. It's Wednesday, and you know we've got another game coming. We will have Eric Wood today. We missed him on Monday, and so we rescheduled to today. So we'll talk some about what happened on Sunday, but mostly maybe just the current state of things, particularly the offense. With Eric Wood at 4 o'clock. Sal will join us at 5 with the report from today's practice. Quite a few guys came back. Quite a few guys were limited. But maybe it feels like, despite that lengthy list of limited guys, like it's trending in a more positive direction than it was at this time last week. Anyway, Sal will be with us at 5, and then I'll touch base with Paul in the 6 o'clock hour. Paul is in Utah, Sabres and Mammoth tonight in Utah, and the Sabres are in really, really tough with health slash injuries.
Did you see the graphic that I posted earlier?
Yeah, with all the blanks. Yeah. It really is... Real quick, it's four Rochester guys basically right now that are in the lineup, right? Roseanne, Osland, Kozak, Dunn.
Right. Is Johnson in the lineup too? No, that's right. They have
right.
Yeah, no, they did not. They don't have Duran Johnson in the lineup. Yeah,
no. Jack Bryson is in it.
Yes,
anyway,
Bryson.
Anyway, so they might actually be a sympathetic outfit right now, the Sabres. Anyway, we'll get to that. I wanted to start on. Just where your, because you were away, you weren't around for Sunday for the overtime show.
Sorry, yeah, guys. Sorry about that.
I would. I don't know what. I can't speak for Zach and Derek who did the overtime show in your place. Post game was not
what you thought it would be.
No, yeah, it was not. Like I went out for beers after. I was in such a good mood.
Wow.
Even though the Bills got rolled by Miami, I was like. This went really well. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't.
That's a surprise.
It's road game helps, I think, usually.
Road game does help.
As far as drunk people who want to call us names. anyway, in my experience. So that was good. So, but you went around. Again, I don't want to rehash. Just what is your level of, I don't know, what kind of crisis level would you describe yourself at with the Bills offense overall, the passing offense, maybe more directly? No Kincaid now for at least this game. We'll see how long that lasts with a week-to-week hamstring injury. And it's not like they've been week-over-week terrible. They had a very effective and well-executed plan against Kansas City on offense and threw for a lot of yards. Most of it was to tight ends, but still it was good. It looked rehearsed. It looked well-oiled. It was good. Boy, the Miami game was really hard to watch right from the start. And I'm just wondering where you're at on like crisis level, because I'm wondering if this is just one of those weeks and they'll get out of the ditch because, you know, they're the Bills and they'll get back to contender and, well, they still are, and, you know, division leader and whatever. But they got a lot of work to do in that department. Just where are you at right now on the, I don't know, panic meter?
So I think first, before we even dig into some of the Dolphin stuff, I'm glad you brought up the point about Kansas City, because I wanted to make a point about this, which is I really hate, like, and I even did this a couple weeks ago, but in fairness, it was the right thing to do, because the Patriots were acting like the beating the Bills was like they had just won a Super Bowl. I mean, they were at, like, people in the locker room and like Stephon Diggs, and they're like spraying Gatorade on each other. I'm like, all right, I mean, it's, you know, it's week 7 or whatever. Let's settle down just a hair. Yeah. And you guys have also won like 9 Super Bowls as a franchise. So, like, you know, reel it back a little bit. Okay. But when after that Chiefs game, and I think Nick Wright leads off with like the Bills win their yearly Super Bowl against the Chiefs and the Ravens. And it's a way to, you know, be an a-hole to people that are trying to enjoy their team winning, and you know, it's just, hey, congratulations, you won your Super Bowl. the Bills are gonna have a tough time shaking that if they can't beat them again this year, if that happens, so happens. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, they rolled out a very unique pass rushing strategy we hadn't seen all year.
Yeah.
And in fairness, Michael Hoyt, that was him getting involved, whatever. Uh-huh. But they do this every year where it's like they start pulling stuff out against that team that they haven't used all year in a regular season matchup that is just 1-0. All we want to do is 1-0. It's not bigger than it's just the Chiefs and it's a regular season. The problem is the last couple of years they played kind of crappy going into the game, then look amazing, and then they kind of look a little crappy again, and then they figure it out. It seems like they're really getting up for that game every year, both from a execution standpoint, but also, like, I didn't need them to roll out that really interesting.
Maybe save it for January.
right? So I just wanted to
just a thought. I don't know.
I wanted to just start with like, hey, if we don't want them to say this is our Super Bowl of the year, we should probably
stop maybe scheming it up like it is.
Real
quick on that point, how much of what you're describing is this Michael Hoyt crashing into the guy blocking Joey Bosa so Joey Bosa has a clear path to the quarterback, or Javon Solomon? Because I don't know that I've noticed a lot of that during the year so far, but the Kansas City highlights, that was all over the place. Like, one pass rusher was like a designated wrecking ball, not to Mahomes, but to someone blocking someone and basically creating a free rusher. Like, that looked pretty creative to
me,
but also it's possible I've just been missing it the first 8 weeks of the season.
I don't think you were.
Yeah, me either.
So I just wanted to at least note that and say, like, okay, let's just reel it back just a hair here. But going into that game, getting up for the Chiefs game the way you did, to I just took everything in me not to be snarky about that loss, which is why it's like I'm kind of happy I didn't, because it felt like for me the big gripe, and we talked about it before we got on air, was the lack of urgency they had late into the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, was really like I wanted to punch a screen. I'm like, is no one else here? And then, you know, the very obvious ball that hits the ground, and don't they have the former head of refereeing in Sean McDermott's headset? There was 30 seconds that went by. How could nobody see that the ball clearly touched the ground? Okay. And then, you know, we go just for the sake of this game and this Dolphins game.
It's 3:18 p.m. I don't want to dwell on the Miami game.
I'm warm.
Instead of dwelling on the Miami game, we just spent 10 minutes on the Chiefs game. Oh, to be fair, we did spend like 5 minutes on golf clubs.
We did.
That was my fault. Anyway, please.
But I guess where I get to with this Dolphins game is it's 80 degrees. It was hot for, you know, a quarter, and then it started raining. And a couple players were like, yeah, luckily it started raining. And I was like, really? Because it didn't look like you guys felt particularly happy that it was raining. Because I'm watching Josh, and I'm watching the routes in the fourth quarter, and these guys look like they have gone, you know, 11 rounds with Apollo Creed. Like, I'm so confused on how they could be so gassed. Watching even Khalil Shakir run routes where it's just like, that guy's gassed. And they played 60% of the snaps. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So there was just a couple of things from that game where I'm like, man, these are real red flags to me against a bad, bad Miami. That might be the worst defense in football. And it's not. They didn't do what the Bills did to the Chiefs. They didn't come out with some special game plan and unique run lanes. They sold out for the run. Because they know the Bills do not throw the football on first down. So we'll just sell out for the run, put the Bills in second and long, and then see if they can figure their way out of it. And the Bills could not figure their way out of it. And to me, the red flag is not, well, when you go back and you start looking, well, they must have just ran man coverage. I watched that game on a tablet, and I thought to myself, man, they just ran two-man, two-high, man underneath, and they just said, beat us man-to-man. It wasn't the case at all. They ran like 80% zone against the Bills, the highest mark they've run zone all year. So this time last year, I saw Eric Turner post this piece. All of the conversation was, teams are running man against you. Who's going to get open? In the offseason, it was, teams are going to run man against you. That's why we're getting Josh Palmer. He can beat man coverage. Well, now everyone's like, no, we're going to run just really easy. We're going to disguise some things, but largely, we're just going to sit back in zone and ask you to just take what the defense gives you. And Josh is not doing that right now. He's not taking the quick game. And this game, the passing scheme, it's very predicated on 1-2-3 ball out. And there are plenty of plays from that game where if the ball is out at the top of his drop the way that it should be, it's a 5-6-7 yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
And we get back to this conversation about Josh where we're saying part of him and his inability early in his career to take those was because he was so just infatuated with pushing the ball down the field with his big giant arm. And like, I get it. We all get it.
Yeah.
But like, unless they do take it. And to me, James Cook finally has a game where they throw him the football a couple of times. He needs to be more involved. The running backs need to be more involved. And now with no Dalton Kincaid, like I just look at it and I say, I want to blame the offensive coordinator. Everybody wants to blame the OC. There are things that he can and should take blame for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it right now is that Josh is just not taking what the defense gives him.
Yeah. I think that from what I've looked at, as far as like passing, really the incomplete passes from this game. There was a lot of that in this game. And there were also, and I brought this up yesterday with Mike, because, you know, we get in here on Monday. I haven't really pored over any of that stuff yet by Monday afternoon. It's more of a Monday night thing for me. It's just the way I get access to that stuff, and also time-wise for me. So anyway, not making excuses. But looking back Monday night, of course, like Keon Coleman is in the center of a lot of this. He's leading them in snap share. It seems like they're really trying to validate that draft pick and make that work. And it's not going well, right? So he's eating just a ton of lead here, Keon Coleman. And looking back at a couple of the plays from this Miami game down the field that, you know, in the course of watching the game, you might, if you're me, just get, oh, great, another 50-50 ball to Coleman. Yep. What am I even doing here?
Yep.
And that's not exactly what happened on at least a couple of those. There's a long one in the second quarter that I brought up yesterday that I'd like your thoughts on, where Coleman actually beats his guy right at the line and is ahead of him and actually gaining space between the defender chasing him. There's nobody over the top. He's running like down the numbers. This is left to right on your TV screen, down the Miami sideline. And he's running, again, on the numbers, not right on the sideline. And he's ahead of the guy, like, and the middle of the field is totally available.
Like, you could, like, I could have thrown
just
it to the middle of the field and he could have laid
that
under
out there and just, and Allen throws it to the sideline.
Yeah.
And it actually lands out of bounds. I mean, I suppose if Coleman were closer to the sideline, it could have been a jump ball opportunity at the sideline, which is what the throw made the play look like. But in reality, it was, I don't want to say easy, because it's a 50-yard ball in the air, 40-yard ball in the air. So it's not like a high percentage throw, but it's a pretty bad miss, I think.
For him. For Josh Allen, that's a bad miss. Yeah.
And then there's another one going the same direction on the Bills sideline, fourth quarter, where the defender, maybe everyone remembers this, the defender tips it, and Coleman has a shot at corralling it, but isn't able to on the deflection. That's another ball where he just puts that out there in front of him. There's a safety there, so he doesn't have the whole middle of the field to work with, but he's got from the hash marks to the sideline, to like the corner to the pylon, basically, to put that ball, and he leaves it short where it can be defended and deflected. And so, like, I end up at how hard do you want to be on Josh Allen about those, right? We know there are deficiencies there in guys regularly getting open, and that he might be skittish because of that. But those are plays that could have won you the game, I think, when I look at it. And I just wonder from your perspective how critical we should be, I should be, of Josh Allen for missing those throws.
I think Josh Allen is not above criticism. And it's really hard, I think, for the fans to look at this and say, well, what's wrong? And him being a driving force of what's wrong in the pass game. But I think there is something to be said about, I think part of it is trying to understand why. And that's the hardest part about football, because we don't know enough about what they want to do, why they want to do it, and when they're going to do it. So it makes hard when you're looking at a thing and you're watching Josh throw a back shoulder that's just, you're like, well, what the hell, Keon? What is that? And watching him jog her out.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell, Keon? Well, maybe he's slow playing around. Maybe, you know, so there's just so many things. It's just like so easy that if you want to blame something on someone, you're not going to blame it on Josh. You're going to blame it on other people.
Right.
And I find myself doing that myself. Like, I'm looking at a play and I'm like, this is Josh's fault, but can I find someone else to blame? I think part of it is when you start to not trust things. And when you have the offensive coordinator talking to the CBS crew before the game about how, you know, they, even if it means forcing the ball to a person that's not open in Keon Coleman, they have to do it. Well, if your offensive coordinator is saying that to CBS, then that means it's probably being talked about amongst the coordinator and the quarterback. Yeah. Like, hey, even if he's not open, we gotta get him going. We gotta force this ball. So when you start forcing things in one aspect of the game, to me, there's always a trickle down. There's always a domino effect on other things. Well, now I just tried to press it to him on second and eight because James Cook only got 2 yards on first down because they sold out for the run. Now it's third and eight, and they found themselves in that all game long, third and longs. So I think that there's some level of pressing, some level of I need to make a big play. And when Josh is in the mindset of I need to make a big play, he starts reverting back to a lot of the sloppiness of early in his career. The double backs and the I'm just going to hold it. I'm going to leave clean pockets. Until they can get him into a position where he trusts what he sees, I think we're going to see more ups and downs. One week it'll be good, the next week it won't be. This is a tough matchup. Todd Bowles, they're, I think, sixth in the league in disguising coverages. So they disguise a ton, and they blitz a ton.
Right, which has weirdly given the Bills and Allen trouble this year. All right, 803-0550 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation. If you can, I don't know, I should have had a cohesive way to ask this. Like, where's your, I don't want to say panic, what's your level of concern right now? The Bills are 6-3. The Patriots are 8-2. Patriots have a game before the Bills play again. They play Thursday night against the Jets. So the reality of them being 9-2 while the Bills are sitting at 6-3 is very real before they play Tampa on Sunday. Just level of concern. Is this just another year where we'll look back at the middle of the season, some point in November? I know 2 years ago, late November, after they lost that Eagle game in overtime, I was out of my mind. And then they won again until they lost in the playoffs. Until they lost in the playoffs to Kansas City. So, where you at, fans? 803-0550 is the phone number. Nate Geary is in for Mike. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think the passing game is a fatal flaw right now. And I just think from a personnel standpoint, they are simply not good enough, period. And I know they have Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is awesome. I think Josh Allen is, you're starting to feel the weight of the situation on his shoulders because there is just not a lot of answers with this, with what's going on here right now. And I get it. Bills offense is one of the best rushing teams in the league when they're on. That's great, but that can't be the identity of the offense because their defense isn't good enough for them to be this mauling run first team.
Matt Harmon, Reception perception, excellent passing game and receiver analyst. Been a guest many, many times on the shows. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. Mike Shope has the day off today. Nate Geary is sitting in for him. I am the Bulldog. Eric Wood will join us, rescheduled from Monday. That's coming up at 4. We'll touch base with Sal at 5 on the lengthy but maybe improving injury report. I don't know. There's a lot of names, only a couple of DNPs, quite a few limiteds, but some guys did return. Anyway, we'll run all over that, run over all of that when Sal gets in. You know, trust issues. You heard Matt Harmon say it there. You mentioned it. I've talked about it. Like I think, you know, it is one of the, I think, ways that we might not even intentionally be excusing Allen's misses when he does miss, is because well, you know, he doesn't. Well, why'd he bail out on a clean pocket? Because he doesn't trust what's happening down the field. I don't think it's so much he doesn't trust the guys in front of him. It's just like, I'm going to stand here for too long waiting for someone to break open, so I better get out of here, right? And then maybe someone will extemporaneously, off script, break open, and that'll be our play, and that's that. But trust, I think, like Joe Brady sitting down with Allen and going over this stuff and telling him to trust what he sees feels a little bit to me like a pitching coach going out to the mound to tell the pitcher to relax.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, man.
Just breathe. Just relax. It's not that big a deal. Just like you do in practice, right? But like your adrenaline's going, you're just like, relax. I can't relax. Right. I'm not saying that is specifically Allen, but I think when the guy that is the most important piece of the equation, the guy with the ball in his hands, is having trust issues, I think it's a very difficult thing. It's easy to say, well, just trust it.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the point. It's just like saying, well, relax. What happens when someone tells you to relax when you're really upset? You usually get more upset.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, how they reel this all back in. But trust issues, I think, are a big deal.
So listening to Matt Harmon, first of all, he's fantastic. I'll listen to that dude for forever, right? He said a couple of things that I think were important. The first one being, well, what I'm going to take from that is I think there's a lot of pressure on. I think the pressure of winning a Super Bowl and their inability to get there, right, wrong, indifferent, has been more on Josh Allen than on Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. And I would think in most franchises, you look at the head coach and you look at the general manager, and they're the ones that typically bear the pressure of an organization winning a Super Bowl. They have more control. But because of how good Josh is and how little he's been able to get to the place that players, his peers that are as good as him, have gotten to, I think there's a inherent pressure on Josh that it's almost you're starting to see the cracks of, I need to do this. And if I need to drag these guys along, I'll do it. But the thing that Harmon said that I don't think it's talked about enough is their desire to be this run-first football team and how it really does not jive with what they have going defensively. And you might say, well, Nate, that doesn't make sense. Don't you want to possess the ball, score, and try to keep the ball away from opposing offenses because you don't trust your defense? Where I think the Bills are in this complimentary, everyone eats, this whole sort of mindset they have is, I'll say this about Ken Dorsey, whom I wanted fired. Ken Dorsey wanted to put 100 on you every game. And if it meant they were going to throw the ball 60 times, they're going to throw the ball 60 times because they're trying to hang 100. I get the sense this offense is not built like that. Their mindset is not, we're going to go score more points than you. It is, we want to possess the football. We want to, and you, I've heard you say a lot, which is like, it shrinks your margin for error.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you just don't, you're possessing the ball a long time. You have less possessions. You have less opportunities to score. And I sometimes feel like I watch this offense and I say to myself,
and more opportunities to take a penalty.
Yeah,
have
right.
A set, whatever. It's a negative, whatever.
Correct. Yeah. And I, the more I watch this offense, the more I just get this sense. It's like, they don't want to be the team that scores on you. They want to be the team that is physical and downhill and takes what the defense, like, and that's fine. But like, I want to feel like they want to score more points than the other team, not out-strategize the other team. I don't think they're strong enough strategically to do that week in and week out.
Yeah.
I just don't think they are.
I think this point about Allen maybe feeling the pressure, I think the perception out here is he has to overcome the obstacles that have maybe in some cases we perceive that have been put in his way from inside. Like that he has to overcome McDermott in some way. He has to overcome the roster. And the lack of talent at receiver. And that is a lot to carry. I don't necessarily agree across the board that is the case.
Right.
But I think that's the perception.
Yep.
And from the perception comes the pressure. And so whatever the reality is, that might be the pressure point, is that he is carrying more of that than he probably should, I think, in some cases. 803-0550 is the number. Let's fire it up. Chris, you're first up this segment. You're on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on. My opinion is not coming from a sophisticated viewer, but my observation is that Josh is not able to get himself into a rhythm or a tempo because they run the ball on first down, and he's finding himself in a situation where he has to throw on third down. The receivers aren't getting enough attempts to catch. And it would be interesting to see if Josh might feel a little less pressure throwing on first down than throwing third and long all the time.
Well, I think that's a good observation. I listened to Joe Brady, his Monday evening meeting with the media. And one of the points that he made more than one time, like it might have been just one answer, but he might have said two or three times within the answer about like looking at the game, like what would you have done differently? Like what tripped you up? And he talked about passing against Miami earlier in like first down,
yep,
because of what Miami, like you referenced already, what they were doing, how they were playing.
31st in the league in neutral pass rate on first down.
Right.
Meaning they run the ball more than 30 other teams on first down.
Right. And isn't there a tendency under center,
yep,
versus shotgun?
Yep. And
horribly predictable.
And the other part of it,
like,
too,
it's in the 80s, right?
Yes.
Like you're running from under center 80% of the time.
And you're throwing from shotgun. And they talked about it on the broadcast.
It's 2025.
Bulldog, like, they talked about it on the broadcast.
What are we doing?
I think it was it Charles Davis? Is that who had the gal? Is that calling the
game?
Yeah,
it was that right?
Okay.
Ian McCourty and
he was talking about
Andrew Catalan. Yeah.
86. Kincaid runs on the field. They're going to throw the football.
Right.
When he goes off the field, they're going to run the football. And like these are things. And when they run their tight bunch set with Khalil Shakir on the far receiver on the, they're going to run the screen, the tunnel screen. So if we're all watching this,
right,
guys who watch casual all 22 so that we can get on the radio for 4 hours and, you know, be knowledgeable about what we're talking about, imagine whose job it is to watch film for 60 hours a week is picking up on those tendencies.
It doesn't sound like that hard of a code to crack.
No.
Some of that.
It's not the Da Vinci Code.
Rudimentary,
yeah,
stuff. Like the dude who has always called us to say, I know what play they're going to run,
right,
is really having a year.
Oh yeah, like I coach my kids' little league football team.
Right, right.
You know,
they're right more.
They
more
are. Yeah, they're having
year.
A year.
Thank you for the call, Chris. Eric is next up. Hi, Eric. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, what's good, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I'm having a hard time. You know, I don't profess to be a front office person or anything like that, nor am I a sports psychologist, so I don't want to speculate how Josh is feeling. But it just seems like I have a hard time, like, being a fly in that room where the powers that be decided that this roster was good enough. Like, that conversation actually happened, that they decided that, okay, we can just move forward in this way. Now, not everything is going to work out as fans would like it to work out, but in my opinion, I kind of feel like the shelf life of Brandon Bean and Coach McDermott has been officially reached. And I'm curious on your opinion.
I think, thank you, Eric. I feel more than I ever have that those two, McDermott and Bean, have been drifting apart. I don't have it all written down, but there have been, Mike referenced it earlier this week, a few weeks ago, maybe it was maybe before the bye, during the bye, after the care, I don't know, that McDermott talking about two-dimensional offense and what he wants from the passing game sounded to me like a coach trying to make it known, like,
I need a receiver.
I am not okay with the way this roster is put together.
Yeah.
Right? He's never going to directly
of course
say
not.
That. But there, to me, he sounds to me like he is – I hope I'm not getting too tinfoil hat here, okay? But he sounds to me like he's starting to leave crumbs that he wants you to pick up on.
Yeah.
They're like, I never said – it was when somebody said, we know you love to run.
Yes.
He said, I never said that. I want to be able to run, but I also want to be able to pass. And like that clarification to me was really loud. I just thought for him to want to make sure that my name is not on
attached to it.
I love to run, right? It's to me recognition that he knows what's going on out here and maybe knows how he's perceived and is trying to sort of, I'm more over here actually. And I think this past week with the deadline coming and going and them being attached to Jalen Waddle and Olave and Brian Thomas Jr. and whatever else, and it not getting done, I feel like Bean could be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In trouble.
I don't disagree. I also want to make a point.
I think he failed to do what needed to be done last week.
I would agree. And I think there's something to likely be said about the results of last season lying a little bit. And what I mean by that is last year was supposed to be the step back. And I think they overperformed compared to what their skill level was, both offensively and defensively. It's a bad defense last year. And they knew it, and they put all of their resources into it because on the station, right, famously. And now, what did the thing about that whole Jeremy and Bean thing was? My immediate reaction was he just very much unnecessarily put a giant target on his back.
Bingo.
And now, today, first things first, what they're playing the sound back on Mina Kimes' podcast yesterday, justice for Jeremy and Joe. And now that little target that didn't have to, you did not have to put that on yourself.
Nope.
It is now giant.
Yep.
And your own words are being thrown back in your face. Yep. And a little of that is to think why the breadcrumbs of the, we tried really hard to go after divisional opponents, which I've got problems with in itself. It was unnecessary.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think if they spin out from here, which, you know, I can't believe I'm even saying it, but it's possible. If they don't recover here, I think the target is on him.
Yeah, I would agree.
I really do. Thank you for the call. Thank you for bringing that up. 803-0550 is the number. We'll take a quick break. More calls. Eric Wood coming up in about 20 minutes, more like 15, actually, looking at the clock. He's Nate Geary, and for Mike, I'm the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.